meeting, the July 20th meeting of the KPFT Finance Committee. I'm going to go ahead and call the roll of the people I see on the screen. Will that work, Richard?
Probably.
Apparently, I'm not going to call these people in any particular order other than the order in which I see them on the screen. Sandy Wyman?
Present.
Richard Uzzell? Markeisha Van Zant Sampson is with us. Markeisha?
I'm here. I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Kim K. I'm sorry. Everybody else seems to know you, but I don't know your last name. What's your name?
Kaufman. I'm on the LFC with you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I'm the treasurer at KPFK. And I'm just here as a guest, just listening. So,
LHJ. I'm sorry, LHG.
KPFK.
KPFK, hi. Patrick Smith. May have stepped away. And we have two telephone numbers, one ending in 5661. That's Susan Young, right?
Susan Young. That's Susan Young.
And number ending in 4980.
That's Jim Dingman.
Hello, sir.
Jim Dingman from PNB in New York.
Well, I sent an email with an agenda, but there's not much to the agenda other than discuss and review and discuss an updated draft 2023 budget proposal.
Mr. Chair, may I simply ask, is Richard Uzzell on the call?
Yeah, he's here.
Okay, so I'm taking notes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not.
Thank you. I do not multitask well. I just don't. Thank you, Susan. And we've got some more people. Are there any objections to the agenda? Going once? Going twice? Hearing none? I'm going to ask that Markeisha and the interim general manager, Sandy Wyman, I'm getting bombed. If they'll introduce what they have, it was emailed to most of y'all who are on the finance committee. I hope you had a chance to look at it. If not, that's on me because I did it late, for which I apologize. Sandy, Markeisha.
So, I really hope they.
Thank you, Mac. Yeah, had to unmute. Sorry about that. My phone rang just as you said you wanted me to say something. Sorry.
Mine was blowing up too.
Okay, so what we've given you on very short notice, I apologize, but only on the job for a few days and looking at this, I had constructed a budget with some pretty heavy assumptions on fundraising from major donors that was revenue neutral. It was really more of how I thought we could get to revenue neutrality. We're not going to outrun our expenses. We're down to our bare necessities. And over time, we've seen an erosion in what we're doing for on-air fund drives. So the net here is that Pacifica's got a rule in predicting income. It can't be any more than 10% from the previous year that you just did. So if it's eroded so much that adding 10% to the last total doesn't bubble up to our needed expenses. In other words, this budget presents a loss. How do we prevent a loss? By out fundraising the budget. We have to do a little bit better this year. So that's the focus. The document itself is on a Pacifica form that has to be followed by all five stations, and it rolls up to NEDA. It makes all the back office functions all the way from operations through audit that much easier at the end of the day. So what's been populated on this form showing this red ink budget is something that Markeisha took my optimistic draft and applied the maximum 10% revenue prediction rule, and this is what comes out. So I encourage you to look at this, digest this. It's a massive spreadsheet. And it has quite a bit of information if you really start dissecting. If you look at lines 5 and 6, you see annual totals going back to 2014, extending to 2020 in column C through I. And you can see there's only one year where there was an exception. There wasn't an operating loss. That one year was under Larry Winter's tutelage, late 2017 or fiscal 18 into 2018. So for that fiscal year, we actually made a couple of major fund drives, and that resulted in us showing a black number at the end of the year instead of a red number. So it's a good roadmap when we look at what resonates and what funds. And our need for instant gratification, and that history may shed some knowledge that we can follow. But again, massive spreadsheet. You're going to have questions. I don't know what those questions are, but I really think at looking at this, and this considers that we're not paying for a general manager. We're paying for one full-time employee in Howard Reynolds. Then it's probably as low as we can possibly go in terms of the expenses, and the revenue is the big variance here. The bills will come. Thanks. So, Markeisha, would you like to add something there?
Actually, Sandy, you did a wonderful job. Couldn't have said it better. Like you say, the bills will come. We can't stop those. They roll around. We don't have any exuberant expenses here other than the basics. So there's nothing more we can cut. The change has to come in the revenue. The revenue numbers speak for themselves, but they need to be increased. So we're definitely looking at ideas that anyone has to help us with that.
Mr. Chair and esteemed business manager in IGM,
I feel like I'm coming up in the world.
I know.
No, that's Susan's sucking up.
I feel like I'm waiting on line at CVS, the drive-thru, you know?
I'm kissing up hugely, understood. So, Markeisha has brought up often, and I really heard loud and clear, that the central services calculation that I don't know if it's current with KPFT or prior years has been wrong. Could Markeisha give us an update about how central services are calculated, what's included in this budget, and then past payables? Let me just get to a bottom line, which is I would like for Mac and me to take to the National Finance Committee a motion to correct KPFT's central services and I think Markeisha understands as well and can give us the information we need.
So currently, so some history.
Markeisha, I'm sorry to interrupt. For those of us looking at this on a small screen and toggling back and forth between Zoom and the spreadsheet, can you point us to the, can you help direct us to the line for central services?
Line 36 and 37.
Thank you.
Okay. So, some historical information is that I think in 2014, the then CFO, did a calculation based on prior years and averaged out the central services amount, I think over 5 years, to come up with a standard number for every month, as opposed to taking the 19.5% off of whatever the listener support was for the month. In theory, it was a great idea because it helped to help them, the national office, budget better, knowing every month what to expect. But as you can see with our revenue that has continually declined over the years, we have not been able to sustain that amount because it's based on numbers that we haven't hit in years. I've been hearing people keep telling me that, oh, there was a new calculation, you should have it. But when I asked NEDA about it, they said, no, the calculation is the same. Leave it as is. So that's where I guess Susan and Mac would come in into finding out if there is a new calculation. Because at $12,000 a month, I mean, if we don't bring in but 18 or 19, you could see where that's a big problem for us to send most of our money to the national office.
So what I would like to do is to ask for assistance from Sandy and Markeisha, okay, for us to propose a change that applies for 2023 and gives us the basis for renegotiating our past payables to central services.
Okay.
Something that reflects our actual condition.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm on board for that. Definitely.
Yeah. Are you okay with that, Markeisha? You're the person who will have to make this happen, and Sandy will have to say, huh, we thought that was a good idea.
Definitely, yes. So I'm on board for that.
Great. So I'll be happy to follow up with you later this week if you can help with that.
I will. So, yes.
Markeisha, this is Richard. I have a question.
Yes, Richard.
Is that amount still $13,469?
Yes, sir. And 11.8 of that is to the national office, and 15.85 is to PRA.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any other?
Hello, questions? This is Ted. Can you hear me?
Yes, Ted. Please go ahead.
No, I just joined the call. I just didn't know that I could be heard. I was told I was in the waiting room. I'm glad I'm not. Thank you.
This is Nancy on stack.
Yes, Nancy.
Yes, 27. What is all that noise? 27.
No, just ask your question.
What?
Just ask your question.
Ask your question, he says. Yeah.
I don't have a question. I have a correction. 2017, Sandy was talking about this model is great and fantastic and we were in the black. That was after three full-time workers with benefits was suddenly poof gone. And there was also a part-time development director, poof gone. And there was a whole bunch of others working on commission, but that doesn't matter, I guess. But I mean, all those positions were three full-time with insurance were suddenly gone at the order of the IED of 2017. So of course they're going to have a better financial, platform there when you suddenly fire the IGM, the news director, the outreach development director, and other part-time development director. And there was, yeah, and another one, I forgot what his title was, for helping, Brian Sanchez. I can't remember what his title was, but he brought in some money. Anyway, thank just want to make insight. That correction there.
Thank you for that insight. Do we have any other questions?
I've got another question, which is, this conversation is about, and I don't know why I'm ringing, but anyway, this conversation is about 2023. No. But we're in a very tough position right now. And Markeisha last night, Jim Dingman and Kim Kaufman, I think, and I were all on a call for strategic planning, and Julia Kennard with the CFO said she wasn't sure whether KPFT could make payroll this month. We get at every PMB meeting, we get an up-to-the-minute update of where might we not be able to make payroll. Markeisha, what is the current status that you know?
We are able to make payroll this month. We will make payroll, yes. And probably that question that is on the table, because the funds that we have in the bank now are grant dollars that are supposed to be earmarked for other things, but it's what we have in the bank. So,
in other words, you're going to dip into these restricted funds in order to make payroll?
That's what we have in the bank. So yes. Uh-huh. Because we have not put into it. So basically it's money that was granted to us for the, prison. One of them is for the prison show. We use those funds to fund the tower in Huntsville. So, that's just an ongoing, long as the tower's rent is paid, we can offset that money. Go ahead.
So let me just say that is a restricted gift from the Brown Foundation. And using monies that are not appropriate for that restricted gift draws it into question, and we may have to pay them back. Okay. So saying it's that we can afford payroll is problematic.
Okay, so I understand that, and of course I would not do the report that we use the money for payroll. But to answer your question, yes, the money that we have in the bank now is restricted. Yes.
So
KPFT doesn't have any money that is not restricted.
Okay, so we have no regular money for payroll, and we are going to be borrowing from earmarked monies that we will probably need to restore.
That's correct.
I'm not sure what to say.
So that's something that I think we need to note as a committee, and I would request that the IBM and business manager note that. And that also goes to the question of how carefully can we protect dedicated gifts that are provided for a specific purpose, because the group doing capital fundraising for the building wants to make sure that money that is raised can be protected, because Pacifica comes and takes money away from different stations when they have a need somewhere else.
Because the money ultimately belongs to Pacifica and not the stations. That's why they do that.
Understand, but when you have a restricted gift, it only belongs for certain purposes, and if not used for those purposes, the donor can demand it back.
I totally understand that, Susan, but you know, that house that was donated to us should have been donated to us, and we saw what happened with that.
Understood. So that means I am very, very concerned about our capital fundraising effort now. So thanks for making that clear, Markeisha.
Okay. All right.
Ted for the stack.
Yes, Ted.
I would like to know what the agenda item is that we're discussing right now, and then I would like to make a proposal.
The agenda item we are discussing, Ted, whoops, that won't go, is the draft, 2023 budget proposal, which hopefully was forwarded to you. And that answers your question. So that question. So what was your next?
Well, I don't want to make a motion, but I want to make a suggestion that we have a weekend strategic planning retreat where we explore all the possible ways that KPFT can raise money. And I'm wondering what people think about that. It seems to me that we are on the verge of going under, and it would require some extraordinary actions on the part of the board, and that's why I suggest such a thing, such a meeting. What do you all think about that?
I can't speak for everybody else. I will interject. If you have an idea, now would be a fine time to share. We're all grasping at straws. If you have an idea, please don't wait till the weekend. Tell us now. I'm completely serious. I'm not being facetious. Is there something you have?
I have a number of ideas, but I think one idea can lead to another and another and another. The one idea that I have off the top is that we have on the air a marathon where we explain to the greater Houston community what our financial situation is. And we ask the community to get involved in helping us to address our problem. That's just one idea that I hope would stimulate others. I could probably come up with significantly more ideas. I know I could, but I don't need to throw them all out right now. I don't think we have the time for me to enumerate 20 ideas. I think that what we need is a workshop where I've already put that forward.
So, okay. Mr. Chair, may I just dovetail on what Ted has raised?
Please.
The development committee, that is what is their purview. And they have repeatedly encouraged people to come. I mean, they have specific efforts that they put on, last donor calls. But I believe that the development committee is the appropriate place for that brainstorming to happen, and then it can come forward as committee recommendations. And perhaps the committee can ask the entire board, if you have ideas, please forward them to us. If you have the opportunity to join us for the meeting, we would love to hear that. And then it can come forward with having been digested by a committee.
When there is time, I'm on the stack.
I don't see anybody else waiting, so please go ahead, Ted.
I don't think what was just said recognizes the severity of the situation. I think that committees are great, and I would think what I am proposing is something that could and should include non-board members, especially members of the development committee. But what I'm proposing recognizes that we are in an emergency mode, and it is inappropriate to waste time. We have a house on fire. It is not time to refer things to a committee. It is time to address them as a board. That's what I think.
And I think that the LSB would be the appropriate format to raise that.
I'm suggesting that in one way or another, Mr. Chair, you present this idea to the board from the Finance Committee, and hopefully the board approves it.
Nancy on stack.
Yes, Nancy.
Development Committee is canceled for this week, this month. And the last month's development committee, we were just throwing out lots of suggestions. We don't have anything in the fire. Just want to let Susan know. We did have a grant committee. I guess it's a committee with Henry Faust and Robin and Ted and myself. And we've got things in the fire. But Robin's thing was there's a group of some kind of organization that gives funding for doing sponsoring a concert in a city that has less than 250,000. So she said that Dr. Franklin was setting that up in the middle of that when he got laid off, and it was going to be for Alvin, Texas, a concert there. And that was worth something like 50,000, I think, if my memory is correct, but it's all up in the air. So, I suggest that we get into that, and then Henry and I were working on something to ask the Montrose Center or Legacy or the gay gay organizations to, and I'm drafting a statement for that. Okay, I just wanted to give you an update. We don't have a whole lot of things in the fire. Okay, that's all, and I think Ted's right. It's about time we got together with our membership and let them know what's happening, because actually it's up. We need them. We need them to know how bad things are and do they really care, and they will step up. That's all.
No.
Yeah. No, Mr. Chair,
yes, please. Go ahead.
I would like to kind of request for feedback from Sandy, and it would be good if Robin were a part of this conversation as she does development. The top priority at this time is getting the building done and getting, the grid hammered on. And I hate to put an additional burden on people who've got first things first to do. But I do also think that a brainstorming session might be good. And I'm wondering, and we don't have Jane on the call, but, maybe a committee of the whole, for an LSB meeting, and set aside a period of time to, give reports about who's raising what and ideas such as Ted.
Ted for the stack.
Sure, Ted, please.
If what I'm suggesting, and by the way, in a committee, you don't need a motion if people understand what we're talking about. But if what I'm suggesting can percolate up to the board, Robin can be appraised of the fact that the idea will be discussed and invited to attend. So can Sandy, who is a member of the board, one way or another. And so my thought is, let's take this idea to the board for a weekend workshop. We could start certainly at a board meeting with a committee of the whole discussion, but then take it from there to a longer protracted meeting where ideas were hammered out, fine-tuned, and put in motion. The biggest concern we have right now, I have to say, is not the building. The biggest concern right now are the finances to keep KPFT alive. If we don't do that, the building is a nice dream that will never be a reality. We've got to get funding. I'm done.
Richard to the
stand. Go ahead, sorry. Richard. Richard, Ted, go ahead.
Ted, do you have any idea about where you would have this meeting or how much it would cost or any of that?
Between the people on this call, I am sure we can find a facility that will allow us to use it for the weekend. I have numerous places. I'm sure that there are others. Many of us have been leaders throughout the years we've been in Houston. I'm sure we can find multiple locations for free.
With air conditioning, right?
Yes.
And bathrooms.
And bathrooms.
Oh, no bathrooms. Besides, we're not full of shit. We don't need bathrooms.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
We can't have a full bar if we don't have bathrooms. I'm sorry. That just won't work.
Our coffee for that.
This is Nancy on the stack.
Yes, Nancy.
Okay. I know I don't want to make everybody vomit, but we may have to put this building on sale to save our broadcast signal ability. Just keep that in mind. I think we did very well for 2 years when you think of the fact we're not live, we're limping along, but we were able to broadcast and without a building. I mean, that's a feat. We don't really need that building if it comes to that point where do we keep a building or do we have a broadcast signal? Already, KPFK has reduced their salaries again because there are 80,000 in arrears in tower rent and 60,000 arrears in electricity bill. And they've got two separate electricity bills because they're keeping those old reel-to-reel tapes in cold condition for digitalizing later on. Anyway, buildings are not that important. It's the signals that are important. That's all.
On the stack?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for asking the stack.
Yes, Susan.
Chair?
Yeah, I wanted to let Nancy know a couple things. One, those figures from KPFK are not the most recent. I don't have them in hand, but I know they are not the most recent. Regarding the building, if we sell the building, all that money goes to FJC. None of it stays in Houston.
And it
is the programmers, I think many of the programmers, of which I'm not one, and Sandy can speak to this, believe that they can fire up their programming much more effectively if they've got a workable station. Right now, to interrupt that opportunity would not be wise, but we would basically be sending all that money to the lender.
That to the stack.
Yeah.
Nancy to the stack.
Jim Dingman to the stack.
Go ahead, Ted.
I was not suggesting that the building is not important. I was just saying that finances are the number one issue. I think the building is probably number two. But we don't have to get into a shouting match or any kind of a debate as to whether or not one is more important than the other. We need to address both.
Thank you, Ted.
Agreed.
Jim Dingman. Am I saying your last name right, Jim?
They pronounce it all sorts of ways, Sean.
Well, what did your father call you? And I'll go with that.
Dingman. Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Interim General Manager. Interesting to see him here. I wanted to throw in some things that some of you all may not be aware of. And that is that, one of the reasons why we set up that national task force funding operation was to direct it to the stations that needed money. And you all are on that list. So KPFK, I don't know what the next fundraiser they're going to do. We talked about this in the strategic planning committee last night. But one of the things we wanted to do was to create a capability that can, you know, be well organized and give, you know, raise extra money for KPFK, KPFT, et cetera. So keep that in mind, because one of the things we learned, we have a lot of lessons learned from that experience, but we definitely want to, you know, at some point direct the guns at you guys so you can get some extra revenue. Secondly, underwriting is at this point de facto going on within the system. In New York, we just got $11,000 from the New York City Department of Transportation to play carts on car safety, which is frankly a no-brainer. And the board passed a resolution, as Sue's aware of, just a few weeks ago, that essentially authorizes underwriting. Of course, common sense underwriting. We're not talking about becoming the prostitutes of a mobile oil or something like that. But at this point, I think that people could take initiatives to approach people locally in the Houston area. I know we're going to do it in New York and get that a little additional money perhaps coming in to support the operations of the station. We're going to further develop a policy on this, but it's a no-brainer now. Everybody wants to do this because we have no choice. I just wanted to add that and, you know, just to throw that in just to let you all know what's going on here. And I think that, you know, what the hell? You should press them to have a national fundraising, task force, direction to you guys as soon as possible, maybe to help you get over the edge, over the amount of money you need to get the house built, construction done. Cause nobody wants to sell the signals. Nobody wants to sell property if we can avoid it at the last cost. It just is, we have a lot of options that are there and we just got to present and exploit them right now. Thanks.
Sandy, you had your hand up?
Nancy was before Jim, but I was skipped.
I don't remember that. Sandy hasn't spoken yet. Sandy,
I know you don't. I know you don't remember.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me put your mind at ease, everybody. And Ted, you're right. It is a crisis. It's been a crisis. It's been a narrowing pathway since we've been out of the studio. 28 months we've been out of the studio. Imagine that. 28 months of people like myself sitting at home spending hour upon hour upon hour trying to produce radio programming that's going to attract funding. Good luck. Very few people are doing that on our volunteer staff. Going live, I think, in a short period of time, we'll double what we're doing now. We have to quadruple what we're doing now, but we'll get a bump. Now, we have about $39,000 in our bank account right now. And as Markeisha alluded to, the source of funds are from grants. There are two grants that came in, which were significant. And we've actually already dipped into that a little bit, not much, maybe about $3,000-$4,000. But the amount that's in there and the upcoming payroll, well, the payroll is less than 10% of the total of our bank balance right now. It's a significant expense, but it's a manageable expense for the moment. We're on a runway of about 6 weeks until we can get back on the air. When we get back on the air, we're going to have proven fundraisers and a fund drive to go with it. And I think that we can collect just enough to get by until until we get to our October drive. Or until we get to our October drive, and by February, be revenue neutral. You know, Rourke Smith was doing on average about $2,200 a day before COVID in funding. Every day, Monday to Friday. Susan Darrow is a tremendous fundraiser too. You need to get to $6,500 every day we're on the air raising funds in a fund drive. We don't have much time to do it. We have to get to $5,000 a day for the 10-day plan drive in August. There's not going to be any significant change between what we've been doing and this next drive. Robin and I are trying to get one grand prize that if you donate $100, you get into a drawing for as an enticement. But until we get back on the air with our proven fundraisers, with a consistent schedule, with call-in shows to where we're engaging with the community and give people reason to make that call, to put the dollars in, we're toast. So yeah, it is an all-out foot race to get that building open and get us on the air. Got good news this week. I'm hoping to get more before the week is up. And we may be down there as soon as next week, starting to actually do the work to build the studio. Mo Thomas has promised to be here in mid-August to wire that studio. So we see now a schedule forming to where Labor Day, which I've been touting now for a week or two, as really being a reality. We have a shot at that. We've got to hang on till then. We have the funds in the bank to hang on till then, okay? But we're going to have to be active as a group raising funds. We can get together and have a retreat. That'd be great. We can throw pasta against the wall all day. We've done this for year after year after year. Our main source of fundraising remains our ability on air to draw money. And a few of the programmers, still have that ability. And I really believe that getting Rourke back in and Susan back in on a daily basis and these talk shows will help to, you know, add a little bit of fuel. If anybody knows how to create a scene and make some publicity positively for KPFT, now would be a great time. Thanks.
Ted, for the stack.
In just a minute, let me say this. Opening the building and broadcasting live can only be a net positive. That's radio. Radio is live. It is interactive. People can call. You talk to people. You develop rapport. That's how you fundraise. What we've been doing for the last 2 years is podcasting. Nothing wrong with podcasting. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but that's not radio. I think that we get the building open and some minimal, you know, we develop that interaction with the community that radio is premised on, and we can improve our numbers. And I'm talking finance and membership, because they go together. Yes, Ted.
I think somebody else
was on the stack before Jim Dingman, before Sandy, before Ted.
Go ahead, Ted.
Go ahead, Ted.
Ted, please.
All right. I think it's a wonderful idea that Rourke and Susan and other people will magically have the audience they've had in the past, and magically the money will just start flowing in. And hopefully that's the case. But I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. I think we need to come up with a marketing plan so that the community will know that these things are going on. And that's part of what I would like to see discussed in a weekend retreat, where we would discuss and move forward on developing a strategic plan for growing KPFT. For rebuilding KPFT. And I'm not saying what Sandy is proposing isn't nice, but I don't think it's enough. I'm done.
Ted, and you're again invited to bring that to the LSB. You are a member of the LSB. You can bring that at any time. Nancy, you're next.
I would rather it come from the committee.
Nancy, you're next, and you're now, and then Teresa.
Okay, the electricians that are working on the new location right now, does everybody understand that the old location was free electrician work by the Voices at Work labor show team? I mean, I talked to two of those, you know, Ron Gagne and White Wolf. They wired the whole thing free, you know, it was volunteer work. I'm concerned that, you know, we're using money that we could get free work for. Also, there's, you know, somebody donated money. It was announced at the LSB for moving all the, you know, boxes or things from KPFD to a storage room. And someone donated money for, truck movers to do that. And, you know, when Hurricane Sandy, struck, WBAI, it was board members that were moving things out of that, third floor, Wall Street, flooded, no electricity, and went to a cheaper digs and got out of that horribly expensive rent, on Wall Street. Anyway, it was the board members and volunteers that did that, and they didn't charge anything. I just wonder what's going on, what's happening, about that electrician. Remember, Voices at Work people, they gave up their show. They got tired of doing it after 17 years, but they still care about KPFT. And I'm getting, you know, complaints from some other programmers why we're not doing that, or if, I don't know if they know that we're not doing it. I don't really know what's going on at KPFT, really. It's a small clique that knows, but I don't know.
Understand.
And about what, yeah, and about, well, yeah, that'd be fine. And also what Jim Dingman talked about, you know, doing, driving safety. Oh, we did so many of those, when Trump was elected, Cameron, I can't remember his last name, really good volunteer. He went to Paris for free education. But anyway, can't remember his last name. And anyway, he did lots of those, like, you know, going down the, you know, texting and driving, and your car becomes a weapon of, you know, cannot, it takes so much, you know, after so many miles, it's like traveling a football field in so many seconds, and, a lot of them. Now, the carts, and I listen to KPFT all the time, except when I'm sleeping, and it's mostly the IGM speaking and giving about, you know, a show on Saturday, or, please give money. And it's the same voices, and Marla Blue's voice too. We used to have, this idea of letting these nonprofits have at least 30 seconds to talk about their organization, their mission, their, contact information. And that was, you know, Mr. Bays agreed to it, never got off the ground except with one cart, HREG, Houston Renewable Energy
Nancy,
Group.
Nancy,
they
I'm going
one.
To interrupt.
Don't interrupt me. You're always doing that, Sean. Just shut
I
up.
I am interrupting you.
Yeah, Nancy. Sean, and you don't even...
Nancy, I am interrupting you because we have a limited amount of time. You are horribly off topic. You did ask one, you did raise an item that Sandy can address, and I believe he would be happy to address if only he could get that word in edgewise. Teresa, I know you're on the stack, but I'm going to ask Sandy if he can address Nancy's question that she asked a long time ago regarding volunteer labor.
Thank you, Mac. Nancy, we're doing a build out of a licensed broadcast facility. Pacifica has told me, without question, people that work on the facility have to be licensed, bonded, and insured. To that end, when we purchased the building, the realtor, out of his pocket and no charge to us whatsoever, hired a professional, a bonded licensed electrician that trimmed up the wires in the junction box on the north side of the building, and the junction box that is in the, or breaker box, I should say, on both accounts, in the extension wing on the left side of the building. So that was all done so that it meets code and will pass inspection. And that was done for free. Jack also employed an air conditioning, an HVAC guy who came out and put in like 10 pounds of Freon. If you're familiar with the cost of Freon, you know it's about $85 a pound. And on top of that, did some other checks altogether that was at least $1,100 in services. Jack took care of that too, no charge to Pacifica. To date, out of the funds that were available from the sale of Lovett, we procured the property. We all know the details on that one. We've paid an inspector and we paid a surveyor. To date, that, and we also paid for the for Wheatstone boards and Wheatstone switches, routers, that are in our studio plugged in to keep lithium batteries alive, according to Mo, and will be installed so that we can do broadcast. That whole thing was around $8,000. So to date, we spent $10,000 or less out of the money that came from the sale of Lovett. Okay? As far as moving goes, we're very lucky that Malcolm Hackney and his company, All Star Media, is donating box trucks and labor, as well as some volunteers that will help those couple of people. You can only have, you can have only so many people, unloading a truck. Okay. It's like in business school, there was something that said if one person can unload in a truck in an hour, two people can do it in a half hour, and 100 people, well, they can do it in 3 or 4 hours. My point being is that we'll have a right-sized team to go in and help move those boxes out of Malcolm's place and the fire extinguishers, the furniture that's in there, and the same thing with the storage unit at Westheimer and Shepherd. Those gears will grind either next week or the week after. That's when that's happening. So there's a lot in motion toward a project plan to build out this studio to be open by Labor Day. These things are being contemplated. As far as what's on the air and PSAs, et cetera, I would take exception. I think there's far more than what you've described as two or three. I will admit that I heard two things I recorded twice in a row and felt a little bit embarrassed by that, two 30-second spots back-to-back on a weekend a couple weeks ago, one for the Watermelon Festival, and I don't recall what the other one was for, maybe the town hall meeting. So, yeah, we need to open this up, and the way to do that is getting backlog. We've had a few people step up in terms of recruiting board operators, volunteer board operators for our talk shows. And another call from a who sounded like a young man who wanted to learn about doing board operations. And I will post, or I will have posted on our website, a call for that to the community for training sessions. Because when we hit the ground running, and we hit the ground in marathon mode. All of that's true. Like I said, been a narrow pathway a long time. I hope that answers some of your questions. We are about to spend more money through engaging a contractor. Again, maybe even starting next week with that. We have a roofer coming Thursday that needs a minor repair, about $1,000 for a chimney cap and some caulk that needs to be taken care of that was identified a while ago. We just have not been able to identify a contractor up till now. So all this stuff is coming together and we're moving forward. I was on the phone with Arthur Schwartz, who has a legal trust fund where these monies are held, to tell him today that of those monies, we're going to be spending a significant amount coming up, contractor, security systems. We have a lot going on that's going to cause us to spend that money to make this a reality beyond the air by Labor Day. So thank you. No need for getting too excited about it. I think it's pretty straightforward. And anything you want to know, just give me a call. And we can chat. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And before we get to Teresa, just let me say, as a former Teamster and ILA member, it takes one man an hour to empty a truck, two men half an hour, three men an hour, four men an hour and a half. You do the math from there. Teresa.
I'm not quite sure where we are on the agenda because I'm sorry I'm late.
You just keep going.
We're coming up with ideas. It's too bad that we can't be on the air in time for the August sizzler. It's too bad that, that it, with the teams of people that need to come in the building, we just can't get a studio going to, you know, do something live. But what we could do is we could maybe see if Jeff Berg would do a couple Zoom interviews of politicians like, James Tallarico or Beto O'Rourke or some interesting people that people could pay for. We could put it on the air, but we could do it by Zoom in advance and we could raise the money before the pledge drive, for example. I would pay to have Jeff Berg interview some people or have Jeff Berg do something because I think it's relevant. And I think relevant conversations people will pay for because they're meaningful and it gives us credibility. So just a thought, because I, not just Rourke, but I'm thinking back to people that I might give money toward, and I'm trying to think of what we can do off the air so we're not trying to raise money. So we raise money before the Sizzler, which is too bad that we don't have, what do you call it? It's too bad we don't have a challenge, a pool. We haven't worked on it, and it's, I think some of the advanced prep for these, pledge drives, we have to hit our stride and prepare for them in advance. Thanks for listening.
Do we have any other members of the finance committee who wish to offer anything, have any questions, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, Nancy.
Please, Nancy, go ahead. On topic, please.
Yes, so Sandy, can you please answer that question? Can we do some carts again? Safety, driving safety. There were other types of things. We were getting paid for that. And other stations have used that, too, in the past.
Go ahead and answer the question.
I just had Howard record a cart for a Mark Cuban Foundation camp for kids that they're sponsoring here in Houston and elsewhere. That was done yesterday. As people reach out, sure, Nancy, if they reach out, we have limited resources to produce. I cut 1 hour of radio this morning that took me 4 hours, okay, 5 hours. It takes time to do these things, and we don't know who's out there, but any nonprofit's welcome to approach us. And, you know, if we can get it together, we'll do a card for them, no problem. Love the variety. Talking to Rick, Howard about our website and making sure that's updated every couple of days with something new on it. You know,
but it doesn't have to be the same voices. It could be we have a wealth of programmers.
Nancy, would you like to record one, Nancy?
No, programmers. I'm a listener board member.
Nancy, programmers are volunteers. You can ask
them. Yes, so am I.
Nancy, wait a minute.
If you holler, I'm going to mute you. I would ask Nancy if you have some people that
if you mute me, that's a violation of the bylaws.
Nonetheless, I will mute you if you continue to be
Then you need to resign from the board.
If you continue to be abusive of the committee and the other members, I will mute you all day. So I was only going to say, ma'am, that if you know someone, if you have some access to people who might wish to do exactly as you have suggested, I would ask that you do so. We could all use the help. Ted, you had your hand up?
Thank you. I hope I misheard Sandy. Unfortunately, I don't think I did when he was talking about the number of people it takes to load a truck. but I think it speaks volumes to his philosophy, which is one of smaller is better. And that has been the philosophy of many managers going back 22 years. If we don't get the community involved in this radio station, I predict we will continue to be in the predicament we're in right now or worse.
That's not a particularly sage prediction, Ted. I think we all get that.
My point is we need to have a meeting, a weekend meeting where we strategize and come up with ways to engage lots of people and give them specific duties and ask them to carry them out. If that is something that Sandy is willing to try, then we're on the same page. If he wants to keep it to a few programmers and a few personal friends, then we're not on the same page, and I predict our demise.
Nobody has suggested any such thing, and clearly you did miss something when you dropped off and came back in. Sandy, you had your hand up, and Jim, I'm not ignoring you, but you're not a member, so I'm of this committee, so I am trying to keep up with members of the committee. I mean no disrespect. Sandy, you had your hand up.
Thank you. Ted, we're going to be loading this truck. If you'd like to come out and help do that, by all means, sir. No problem. Okay?
I am volunteered.
Mac has volunteered, and just so you know, Ted, there are literally probably 15 people out chasing two or three tasks right now. And it's the kind of thing where you typically sit at home, not loading and unload a truck. They're more of mental exercises or organizational exercises or networking exercises. You know, Ted, I think you're being a little over the top when you say thousands of people need to be involved in all these tasks. It doesn't work that way, and you know it. So come on, let's get back into reality. But again, if you'd like to come out and help with that truck, that'd be great. Thanks.
Teresa?
I don't know. I would recommend that we do something right away. I don't know how much we're paying the person that's doing our website, but there's nothing on our website with the address of our new location and something saying that we expect to be there on September 5th. There's nothing on the website that Sandy is the interim general manager. In fact, I'm willing to bet that it still says that our general manager is Franklin. I think that we need to do something with the website. The picture, when you look at the picture, there's this building and people don't know what that means. If we would do something, put useful information on that website, put a phone number, and we're taking information and some things that we need, drive people to that website, we could get some interest. There shouldn't be half of a picture of the building and not say what the building is. What's the significance of that picture on our website? There's just no news on our website. The other thing is I'm looking forward to Howard. It's saying on the website that Howard or Gordon Anderson are willing to do classes. I would look forward to that, and I think that might be very interesting to see.
We could ask the LSB if you want me to do it. I could, or maybe you could. We could send an email out to the LSB or to the programmers and say, send us names of organizations that you think we ought to approach to see if they would like to do a 30-second nonprofits to do a 30-second promo for their organization. Perhaps we might get some takers. I've wanted for a long time for the CEC, which has a wonderful weekly newsletter of things that are happening environmentally and has over 100 members. So they look at that, and I would love to hear them. I would like to see on that newsletter, CEC is going to do have a show on KPFT, or CEC is going to do a calendar of environmental events. I think that it would be wonderful for me to think of 5 or 10 or even more environmentalists tuning in because they think that we're friendly toward the environment and have something local where we give, we mention events that local people can attend. To me, that's one way to get local people involved. One other thing, at the Larry Winters event, there was a man who had who I believe is a teacher in the Conroe area or up north, and he retrieved a lot of things that were, I think, of historical value in the attic of the old building that would have been left behind. And he has one of those, I don't know what you call it, a machine where you scan it. So he was willing, I guess, during his summer when he's not doing very much, to be scanning things in. And I bet, I'm betting. And I'm betting as he's seeing those things, he is coming up with some ideas. That's a kind of volunteer that we might want to just keep in touch with, because he's willing to help and without questions, willing to help our station.
Point of order. Yes. We are way off topic. These are great things. These really feed into, I think, Ted's idea of a group brainstorming. Lots of good ideas here, but we're off topic for the finance committee.
Thank you. I believe that's right.
Sorry.
No, it's all well intended. We all know that. Speaking of well intended, I was just about to call on Nancy. What did you have to say, Nancy, that's on topic?
Adriana is trying to get the floor.
What?
Yeah, Adriana's on the, please recognize her hand. She cannot put her hand up. She's calling in. I don't see her hand. Okay. I wanted to say that the business manager wanted to say something when I was talking earlier, but she didn't get a chance to say anything yet. So I'm really interested, and Adriana has not been able to speak. I would appreciate if you would not talk when I'm talking, Sean. I mean, really, I can't understand anything when nobody can understand either of us. So could you take Adriana? She's in the meeting room. Can you let her in?
Do something, and now you're hollering.
Can you let Adriana in? She's in the waiting room.
I don't see her in the waiting room.
Can you please? Are you going to let her in?
As far as I know, she is.
And quit muting me and lowering my hand.
No, ma'am. You keep hollering at people, and that's rude. I do not see anybody in the waiting room. Adriana, are you on the line? Are you on the call? If you are, then please feel free to speak up. I don't see anybody in the waiting room. So, Markeisha, you were asked, or it was suggested a moment ago, that somehow you were not able to say something because you couldn't get a word in edgewise. Did you have something to impart in response to anything Nancy had to say?
Sandy did make the comment. I was going to go ahead and say about the licensed and bonded contractor. So no, Sandy covered it.
Yeah. I didn't think that you would hesitate to interject something if it was called for. Do we have any other on topic regarding the budget?
There is a public comment, Jim Dingman from New York, and then I would like to be on the stack next.
Jim, feel free.
Yeah, thank you, Mr.
Chair. Call me back. Try again.
Ted, please mute.
Okay, get up, then hang up on me.
Go ahead, Jim.
All right. Basically, Susan and Teresa, as national directors, and so Egberto and all your national directors who are on the PNB, they have the wherewithal to sort of urge us to organize and shift that fundraising capability to you all. And maybe that could be something that could be organized as one of the things to do. That, you know, I know we raised about almost 30,000. It wasn't the great target we wanted, but if we'd have better preparation, maybe we could raise $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for you guys nationally and just help you with the bills you got right now. And, I didn't know, Sean, you were a Teamster. I was a Teamster, so I sort of get a big kick out of that. Thanks.
Local 962, brother.
757 and 814 in New York. Bye bye.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Point of order.
I'm sorry. Point of order. Can anybody hear me?
Ted, yes, we hear you. Ted, did you have a point of order?
Thank you.
So we can hear
you. Thank you. I want to know if you can hear me. That's
Jesus Christ. Ted, what's your point of order?
that Adriana was about to call in that I had just called her. Can she be given the floor?
Sure. Adriana, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, I want to be sure that you know that I'm in the meeting because I was in the waiting room and then I was mute. I want to know if you can hear me now.
We can certainly hear you.
Thank you.
Nancy, did you have something that's on topic?
Yes. Yes. I wanted, Sandy said, I could not understand it was a yes or a no as IGM. How about Teresa and I, prepare a search? We've got a list of about 70 different nonprofits. And we go and ask them, would they like to make a 30-second, maybe smaller, maybe 20-second card about their organization and tell them that we are in dire straits. And I think that's appropriate. And tell them that we would not charge them money for making a card, but tell them we need their organization support. And if they would please tell their organization, okay, if they find KPFT valuable, please help KPFT. And I would like to talk about the organization that Teresa talked about, CEC, Citizens for Environmental Coalition. It's got oodles of organizations that are environmental, and I mean a number of them. And they called, I talked to them. I asked them, please let us have a table at Earth Day last April. And they were angry that we have not been funding them for years. And I didn't know that we were funding them at all, except maybe a long time ago when I first got on board in 2010. And so they were
point of order. We're all
can I finish, please, Susan?
There's a point of order. Your point of order, ma'am?
Is that we're off topic again. We're back to what we should be talking about in a group discussion about fundraising.
I rule that the member is, in fact, out of order. Is there any other business that is on topic? If not, I will happily entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
What?
Are there any objections?
Yes.
Yes. What are we doing? Adjourning?
State your objection, Ted. And then I'll come to you for your objection, Nancy.
Well, I would like some clarity. Have we come to a consensus that we should present an idea about a weekend retreat to explore it? And if not, can we resolve this with a vote?
We have not resolved that here at the Finance Committee. I haven't heard anybody make a motion or call for a vote. I have suggested that this, you as a member of the LSB can bring this directly to the LSB. It's not, strictly speaking, a matter for the Finance Committee.
Wait a second. May I have the floor?
Oh, yes, of course.
I'll be brief. A motion is not necessary in a committee as long as you know what you're talking about. It doesn't require a second.
Nobody has suggested that it does,
and earlier I asked you if it would be appropriate to enter this line of conversation. You allowed it, so why don't you allow for a vote?
We'll have a vote. Can you state this in a succinct manner so that people know what they're voting on? And, Susan, can you please, I know you've been very graciously, taking notes. Will you please, once we have this, boiled down, would you be so kind as to call the vote? Please, Ted, go ahead and state your motion.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and I am typing down the motion.
Which does not have to be a motion per se, but we all want to know what we're talking about. Go ahead, Ted.
The LSB, along with the Development Committee, have a weekend workshop where we discuss the finances of KPFT and how we can raise money going forward.
Okay. Are there any objections to the suggestion hearing no objections, I guess by acclamation.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm raising my hand. I meant to raise my hand.
Go ahead.
We just had a town hall meeting and somebody had COVID at that town hall meeting. I don't think it's necessary to have a live meeting. I think that we should have a Zoom meeting.
And Ted wants a vote. Excuse me. I spoke too soon. As I understand it, Teresa, you are proposing to modify Ted's notion so that the meeting is held via Zoom rather than in person. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes. And I don't think it needs to be all weekend either.
Nothing needs to be all weekend. But how about
it? He said a weekend retreat.
Oh, God, yes, he did. I unintentionally tuned that part out.
I'll accept what Teresa is saying. I don't know how many hours she's thinking of doing it, and I didn't specify. Weekend retreat. Could be 2 hours on Saturday, 2 hours on Sunday, or 6 hours on both days, or something along those lines.
Let me ask Ted, are you proposing to host this via your Zoom account? Because that way you could just set it up and do it as you saw fit, and then you could invite everybody and people could attend.
I do not have a Zoom account.
Damn it. Okay.
So maybe Teresa does.
Tom Harper does.
Yeah. I don't hear any objections. Okay, so.
Nancy on the stack, was on the stack.
Yes, Nancy, go ahead.
I'd like to amend this to invite the community as a sort of, it's not a LSB meeting. It's just a, it's less than 7 days, but emergency retreat to discuss financial situation.
Okay. Ted, how about it?
To be aired on the cart.
How about it, Ted? To be a community invitation, an invitation to the community?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. I think to control the conversation and to make sure the meeting isn't hijacked, it should probably... The first come to speak would be members of KPFT, but then after that, it could be open to anyone.
Yeah, yeah. Those meetings getting hijacked—that's a real issue some days. So, as rephrased, as repostulated, are there any objections to Ted's notion of a weekend community meeting via Zoom to talk about fundraising? Hearing no objection. Teresa, you have your hand up. Do you have an objection?
Wait a minute. I'm trying to write the motion in the chat so we don't get blurred and vague.
As Ted has pointed out, we don't need a motion. We need an understanding. And so far, I hear no objections to our taking this notion from the Finance Committee to the LSB. I hear no objections. Teresa has her hand down. If there are no objections, then we'll take
this. This is Nancy.
Objection.
I want to amend it to send this to
Go ahead. What's your next amendment?
To send this motion to the LSB immediately and to the programmers, involve the programmers as well.
I think LSB would have to make that determination and ask the IGM whether to present to the programmers. I don't anticipate any of that's an issue. First thing we need to do is figure out if, in fact, we're going to have these meetings that Ted has suggested.
Okay, but if you would let me finish, Sean, which would be polite of you to do, when there is an email please, when you have an emailed motion to the LSB, if it's unanimous, we don't have to wait till the next monthly meeting.
Point of order, Ted had pointed out that this is not a motion and a motion is not needed.
Yes. Okay. I hear no objection. So I'm taking this, I'm going to take this recommendation, this suggestion, this feeling of the body to the LSB at its next meeting. Any member of the LSB of this committee, more specifically, is welcome to email the LSB with whatever notion, crosses their mind.
Do we have a motion? Mr. Chair, motion to adjourn.
Can I say one more thing, Sean?
Only if you don't mess us up.
Now, when the LSB votes on it, it does have to be a clear motion, and I think you get the sense of the body, and you can take it and turn it into something that will accomplish what we've been talking about.
I think that's fair. Is there any objection? We have a motion to adjourn. Any objection?
Yes, I object.
Of course.
I'd like to have this motion worded down and not just leave it, you know, loose. What's wrong with the LSB along with the development committee to have a weekend retreat amended by Teresa to, that amended doesn't need, to meet by via Zoom, to discuss financial emergency?
Nancy, I'm going to ask that you put that in your motion to the LSB, which will be, which I will support, vis-a-vis the, feeling of this body.
Not up to me and it's not up to you. It's up to the committee.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Nancy, I think what you've just said is consistent with what everybody has said, and I think it's beautiful. I hope you'll email it to Sean and to the LSB. If there's any fine tuning, we'll communicate that to Sean, but I think you're on the same page. I think we all are. And I think we can adjourn.
And I want to have to invite the programmers.
May I say something?
Of course. We'll never. Yes, yes. I've got all
that. Thank you, Mac. I don't think that it is healthy to invite the public and staff and everybody to attend a meeting to discuss a financial emergency. I think that's running around like Henny Penny saying the sky is falling. I'd say, you know, asking people to come up with ideas for events that could be fundraisers is a good thing. That's what I would like to do, to have people that don't understand the situation call in and get all panicked, and discuss everything under the sun from bumper stickers to whatever. I don't think that's the solution, so.
I don't disagree with you myself, but that is the gist, as I understood it, of Ted's motion, which he's got his hand up and he would like to respond more directly, I guess.
It says that the bylaws say that both the national board and the local board, when they have meetings, they have to have a period of time for public comment. I think if we have to limit it to 30 minutes, and we could do it throughout the meeting, could be a little bit at the beginning, a little bit at the middle, a little bit at the end, we can do that. So, exclude them, I think, is self-defeating since we're going to need everybody on deck to raise money.
Point of personal privilege, I have got to leave the call, so someone else needs to take notes from here forward.
Okay, we had an earlier motion to adjourn. Have we resolved everybody's objections so that there is none going forward? Going once? Going twice, going three times. Thank you, folks. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Mac. I think we've got something done.
Peace out, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Bye.